Examiners at the Patent and Trademark Office spend their day poring over applications. But when the auditors turned their spotlight on examiners, they found hundreds of thousands of unsupported work hours. That gave rise to the question, does time and attendance abuse occur widely at PTO, or is the anomaly just a product of the office's alternative work schedule? We get more now from Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. And Meredith, telework and time and hours at the Patent and Trademark Office have been a source of concern now for years. So what's the latest here?
The Patent and Trademark Office is located in this enormous glass and steel building in Alexandria.
I've seen it.
Yes, it is. It looks like a spaceship, really. And it's just a few miles south of Washington, D.C. And the office has about 8,400 examiners and a very flexible workplace. There's a pretty standard 40-hour work week, but examiners can work from home on this campus in Alexandria in the middle of the night if they wanted or during the day. Really, just the patent office wants you to get your work done and make sure you log your hours. And that's where this subcommittee hearing at the Oversight Committee comes into play. In August, there was a report published by the Patent Office's Inspector General that claimed more than 288,000 hours of unsupported work among these patent examiners. And that was for 2015 and a little bit of 2014.
Unsupported work means what?
So when you match up, oh, well, this is how, you know, an examiner saying this is how much I worked, the computer login data doesn't match up. And what that comes down to is roughly $18 million in potential waste. And about 300 of the examiners out of these 8,000 or so received really good performance ratings and account for about 100,000 of those unsupported hours. So it's a very small number, but logging a bunch of potentially unsupported hours. And so the issue here is that a lot of the examiners can do their work offline. You know, they can log in, but then, you know, be sitting at their desk at home or wherever in a Starbucks.
Not offline,
or something.
But off campus.
Off campus, but then also offline. And some of them, you know, they don't put their network isn't available where they are. Maybe they're sitting in a park because it's a beautiful day and they're looking through something.
That means they could have printed out PDFs, say, related to a patent application,
yeah,
and they're reading all that material, but not online. They're reading it as paper printouts. I'm just making that up, but they could be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I do that at work if there's a really long GAO report because it hurts my eyes sometimes. And so the question is, okay, well, are examiners really working and doing it offline, or are they lying? And that's where kind of some raised voices came into play during this hearing. David Smith, Deputy Inspector General for the Commerce Department, referenced a story from an IPWatchdog.com article, and he said at least one examiner claimed they were completely justified to charge the full amount of allocated time for a task, even if it was completed in half the time. So here's an exchange between Smith and Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly.
Well, are you contending, Mr. Smith, that one so-called confession somehow characterizes widespread fraud within PTO?
Sir, there is nowhere in our report that we use the word widespread. And as I said in my opening statement...
I'm asking you, sir, a question on what you just said. What conclusion are you drawing from one person, one interview?
That was not one person. The author cited multiple people.
Who
and
admitted
we are
to fraud? Excuse me. Who admitted to fraud?
Yes.
And multiple people?
Multiple people.
What did you do with that? Did you refer it to legal authorities?
As I mentioned, the Computer Matching Act does not allow us to go after these individuals. Now that the IP Empowerment Act has been passed that exempts us from the Computer Matching Act, we can now go forward under this. But for right now, our hands are tied unless the individuals want to come in voluntarily for an interview.
Well, I think one needs to be a little bit careful about drawing broad conclusions from particular incidents. None of us want to see time card fraud, and in fact, if you uncover it, we want to see it pursued. But I am concerned that it comes to characterize an agency where it may or may not, in fact, be at all characteristic of normal practice.
That was Virginia Congressman Jerry Connolly and David Smith, Deputy Inspector General for the Department of Commerce.
Is Connolly contending that probably everything is okay and that the IG should not be going after the employees that tough?
Yeah, he's worried that it's not as widespread an issue as this other article or that this IG report is making it out to be. It's a lot of, it could be, potential, that kind of thing. And he doesn't want to, like he said, he does want to see if there's been a time card, a time and attendance abuse, pursue it. But
sure,
let's not
okay.
Label everybody as a bad guy in the patent office.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. Now, what does the patent office management itself say? Outside of the IG.
So Russell Slipher, he's the Deputy Undersecretary of Commerce for Intellectual Property, said his agency is working to eliminate whatever time and attendance abuse does exist at the agency. In that August report from the IG, there were recommendations including things like reevaluation of examiner production goals and requiring examiners to give their work schedules to supervisors or staying logged into the Patent Trademark Office network during work hours or when a network is available. And Slipher said his agency is working to address those recommendations and looking into whether this is a big problem or just the product of a few bad apples. Here's Slipher.
It is a concern of mine to jump to the conclusion that unsupported hours looking at digital data equates to work that wasn't done. That's why we're digging in as an agency and trying to answer the question of why is there a mismatch between digital data and the certified time records. When we look at production records for these individuals, the quality and the quantity of what they're producing doesn't point to the same result. And we want to get to the bottom of this so that third parties that are looking at our certified time and questioning whether our employees are actually working when they say they are and producing what they say they are is accurate, so that we can resolve the question of whether we have any systemic problems or whether we have individual issues that any agency would have with individuals. So we are digging deeper and continue to work on this and have taken the recommendations to heart, and we'll work with that and the Inspector General to make improvements going forward.
So that was Russell Slipher, the Deputy Undersecretary of Commerce for Intellectual Property. My sense is that they don't know how to measure what patent examiners do. You could measure them by the hour, mm-hmm. or you can measure them by how many patent applications they get through in a given year. And the problem is that each patent application doesn't take the same amount of time, and that's the crux of their problem. That's me, but I strongly sense this.
You make a good point, and one of those recommendations that Slipher refers to is reevaluating the production level for examiners. Because like you said, there might be one that's a really complicated patent, and then there's another that, you know, it's super easy to do. And so you might have one person saying, here is my one examination, here you go, and someone else has got a bunch of little...
So what happens next now?
So Slipher agreed to send a breakdown to the subcommittee of disciplinary actions for 30 people because the Patent Trademark Office has done an internal investigation. And the president of the Patent Office Professional Association, or POPA, agreed to provide the committee with what actions POPA could support in terms of disciplinary action for falsifying time, attendance information, because it was her office that had encouraged an examiner to resign a couple years ago after it was discovered he had claimed more than 700 hours of work and got about $25,000 for it, so which, needless to say, a lot of people were angry about. So we'll see where this goes as the transition continues. And remind me next time to tell you about a report I did on a gentleman who tried to patent the art of flirting with women.
All right. That's another story for another time. Mm-hmm. We will look forward to it. Federal News Radio's Meredith Summers. Find more coverage of telework and its implications at federalnewsradio.com.